Welcome to the Unstoppable Authors podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Line. We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years.
We'll share writing tips and tricks for creating immersive worlds and compelling characters for your stories, as well as advice on author life and publishing options.
So get comfy
and grab a cuppa. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 4.3 of Unstoppable Authors. First of all, I want to say a huge thank you to all our patrons who support the show over on Patreon. You're all superstars. Now, I have a little ask of you. It means a huge amount to us and really helps us to reach new people with our podcast if you can share it on social media, either by sharing direct from wherever you're listening, or with a screenshot, or even a selfie. And don't forget to tag us so that we can share it too. I don't have much of a personal update for you this week because, frankly, I'm hardly managing to do anything at all. I had originally set a target of 20,000 words for Camp NaNoWriMo in April, and in the end, I didn't even manage half of that. Whoops! But if, like me, you fell somewhat short on your goals, don't worry, because whatever you did write, it's still more than you had in March. Because these are tough times and everyone's lives have been changed or disrupted in some way, whether you have children at home or partners at home or you're trying to work from home, you may have had to relinquish your writing space or your peaceful haven may not be so peaceful anymore. Perhaps you used to always write in a coffee shop or on your commute to work or in your lunch break at work. Yep. I think nearly all of us have had to adapt to some kind of new situation or routine, whether for the better or not. Which leads me to our question of the week. Do you have a dedicated writing space? Do you need one? Would you like one? Find us on social media on either Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and let us know. Or share a photo of where you write. I absolutely love nosing at other people's desks. Now, I have a great interview for you today with someone who actually writes beyond our usual scope of fantasy genres, at least some of the time she does. In fact, she is a rather broad-reaching writer with a soft spot for happy endings and a particular word she will never include in her books. But I'll let her introduce herself. So here's the interview. So first up, can you just quickly introduce yourself and your books and tell us a little bit about your journey and how you decided to become an indie author?
Well, firstly, thank you for inviting me on your podcast.
That's right.
It's very kind. My name is Teal Clark. Obviously, that's a pseudonym. Stands for TLC for short, which is Tender Loving Care, because I am a romance writer. But a lot of people call me Teal because, you know, just referring to someone as initials is a bit weird. Mm. So Teal kind of became the thing. I'm British, obviously. And I write about different kinds of love, exploring its many forms. I've got 9 books out at the moment and a 10th is about to be born any day now, so watch this space. As to the why, I've always felt a desire to write, but it wasn't until I read a certain books, it sort of sounds a bit like a paint chart. I'm sure you know which one. I read that and then I got a big nudge to actually put pen to paper. And kind of embarrassingly, I had the "even I can write better than this" tripe moment. You know, it was a somewhat arrogant thought. But anyway, as they say, challenge accepted. And here I am 7 years later. And as to the whys of the indie path, it's because I kind of have control issues.
I'm familiar with that.
I'm just going to put it out there, hands up, confession. It's my book, my way.
Absolutely, and why not? So you've told us about when you became interested in writing a book, but what is it that draws you to romance in particular? Is that something you've always read?
Yeah, romance is basically the genre I like to read the most anyway, so it kind of followed on from that. But yeah, I'm a lover of love. I'm kind of smashy like that.
So romance is one of those things that crops up in pretty much every genre. I mean, if you watch any kind of movie, you're pretty hard pushed to find one that doesn't have at least one kiss in it. And you have certainly written in a lot of different genres, everything from Regency romance to paranormal romance. So how do these different subgenres compare? Like, how different is the romance in them? And why do you feel drawn to tackle so many of them?
I love the way you asked that. I hop around the romance subgenres like a little loved up froggy. But I don't know, this is just kind of what comes to me. But
yeah,
one of the fascinating things I found is that love is love, no matter who it happens to and when or where. It is just love. So in all these different books, even though they can be completely different settings and time periods, there's still that connection to love. And all my books have a positive message kind of hidden within them. Some are more obvious than others, admittedly. But there's always like a sort of form of acceptance as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's accepting past trauma, like broken and damaged love, which really goes into trauma and recovery, or just accepting your duty and Regency love, or accepting your true self, like love bites or self-love. There's that layer of acceptance as well as love. And yeah, I guess they all have self-love in a way.
I really like that, how like you've got this huge broad of subgenres that you write in, but you've got still this one singular theme that you keep coming back to, and that it branches all of the different styles and subgenres that you write in.
It does, it just overarches everything.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Thank you.
Now, I have to mention research. You've written in a good few different time periods, and I always say that one of the reasons I write contemporary fantasy is because I'm overwhelmed by the thought of all the research that goes into writing historical fiction. Okay, let's be honest, I'm just lazy. So how do you tackle the research? Because of course, readers love to point out any inaccuracies, don't they?
Oh my God.
What drew you to the
inaccuracies?
Even perceived inaccuracies. What drew you to the particular time periods that you have written in?
Well, the technically only historical one is Regency love. And I kind of thought I was really well equipped to write that. I'm a Jane Austen fan. Actually, saying Jane Austen, the first and last scenes of Regency love were actually written at Jane Austen House.
Wow.
I did a writing course there. It was amazing. Aww. I was like, oh, I'm writing it. So, you know, proper fangirl. I love so many classics. I'm an avid watcher of Mr. Darcy, Pride and Prejudice. La, la, la. And yeah, honestly, I thought, this will be easy. I am British. I love classics. Great. Sat down to watch it. Read it. So write it.
Do something.
Oh, I was about to write it. This is what I was doing. Oh my gosh, I have such like quarantine brain at the moment.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, and then I sat down to write, and my characters arrived at breakfast. And suddenly I was like, oh my God, what did they eat? And nowhere in any of the books or movies or anything did they actually say what dishes were served for breakfast.
Yeah.
So I sort of scurried away, researched all that. So by the way, is honey cakes and hot chocolate, which is amazing.
Nice. I'm going to live in.
Just how amazing is that?
That sounds very good.
But yeah, it took me like a year because it was write a paragraph, research a paragraph.
Yeah.
And I was so paranoid even about the usage of keywords and everything. So yeah, it turns out I wasn't as prepared as I thought.
Yeah, because it is one of those things that are commonly mistaken by writers and picked up by readers, that people, they have historical people in certain countries eating food that hadn't yet arrived in that country.
Oh my gosh, yeah, or animals as well. Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, it's
a minefield.
I
didn't want to be one of those. But yeah, no, I got there. I put it this way, on my own blog there's 16 posts with the highlights of my research, because I kind of spent so much time kind of pulling in all this information and disappearing down rabbit holes. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to compile all this information and then it's out there in one central place with all these links going off for anyone else that wants to write a Regency romance.
Yeah,
a lot of it's specific to 1814. There's like currency conversion, there's what that money will buy you, there's, and actually when you think about it, I was writing about the daughter of a duke. Now you look at a lot of romances set in the Regency period, they're not actually dukes. Mr. Darcy wasn't even gentry, he was, you know, he was just a gentleman. Yeah, he wasn't nobility, he was almost an ordinary fella. So then you're kind of like, oh, well, what did dukes do? And what did the wife of a duke do? And how would they act? Where did they go? So yeah, there was all that. It's all there on my blog. Have a rummage.
You actually make doing research sound kind of fun. And I never thought I'd say that.
No, honestly, I just appeared into the rabbit hole so many times. I start researching one thing and it kind of led me into all these other places. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that music. And I actually sourced pieces of music that people have now played and sung, and it's on YouTube. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to include that one. So it's named pieces of music and songs.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. I never thought I would say it, but yes, you do actually make research sound fun. But no, I'm not going to, I can't imagine me jumping into writing Regency romance. I would mess it up so bad.
I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, if the fancy ever takes you, look on my blog, just cheat, it's fine.
Yeah. So like we've already said, romance turns up in pretty much every genre, even if it's only as a subplot, but we are not all romance authors. I know that I feel a bit like I'm floundering when my characters start getting steamy. So what's your advice for tackling the romance and, of course, the more saucy bits?
And there are saucy bits in all my books at some point or other. I don't know. I think I got rid of a lot of my shyness, actually, when I was a beauty therapist. After waxing more intimate parts, I dropped a lot of bodily embarrassment at that point. But seriously, anyone else writing those steamy bits, it's just, you need to write what you'd like to read. Forget that anyone else is ever going to read it. Just write for you. Kind of lose yourself in that scene, and read lots of erotica, because that actually really helps. There's so much out there, and I've read some full-on erotica, honestly, and it's like, okay, my stuff doesn't seem so bad now. Even if my mother-in-law has now read them.
Ooh. that is like, that's the classic worry, isn't it?
Oh my God. My husband's auntie, we picked her up from the airport one day and she turned around to me and she's like, are you still writing porn? I was like, I don't write porn.
Oh goodness.
And that way that she likes it, and she did actually go on to read Regency Love as well, so you know, it can't be that bad.
Yeah. Oh wow. So romance readers, we all know, can be quite discerning in their likes and dislikes. So are there any like strict rules that you have to stick to when you're writing romance, and are there any that you can break?
My number one rule, which hopefully I haven't broken, I know I haven't in any of my recent novels, but I can't say 100% for the first ones, I try never ever to use the word moist.
That sounds like
so
a
many
good
readers
rule.
Slam that word. They're like, no, don't use that word. So that's like a hard and fast rule. Other than that, I mean, romances generally, they have to have a happy ending, or at least a happy finale. Being British, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I think that could be a fuzzy rule, but I haven't broken it yet.
I'm a sucker for a happy ending. Yeah, I mean, I write dystopia and I always put happy endings in.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I have to say, even my dystopian's got a happy ending.
I just like a happy ending.
Yeah. Basically, that's what you're writing romance for, isn't it? Mm. You want the girl to get together with the guy. You're reading for an escape, for this idolised view of love where, you know, everyone's gorgeous and happy and, you know, they overcome their problems and, yeah. Mm.
I love it. So, because you have written in so many different subgenres, what has been your favourite subgenre to write? And also, what time period have you most enjoyed writing in, or which would you like to write in?
Don't make me choose.
It's always hard, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, I do love them all. Mm. The one I was most honoured with was Regency Love. It was such a precious thing.
Yeah.
But because of all the research, and I really wrote it to give a voice to women that had none at the time, even with Jane Austen. Bless her, I love her to bits, but she was very satirical. She wasn't actually a romance writer as such. Just kind of just, you know, she was kind of teasing about a lot of people. And I really wanted to get inside the woman's head at that point, trying to put away all modern thinking. What would she have felt? What would she have thought going through that whole marriage? It must have been so daunting.
Hmm.
So that one, yeah, that one was the one I was most honoured by. But my proudest one was writing about a CSA survivor, because back when I wrote it, abuse was still a no-go subject. Nobody would talk about it. It was before Me Too. So to write about a survivor, to offer hope, was really important. And that one, it just fills me with joy every time I see someone buy it. Because I give the royalties of that book to charity. It's not about the money at all. It's about, oh, someone's actually got it. And then readers email me and say, thank you, I feel so understood, or it's helped me. And that is just, oh, it's phenomenal. It's just the best feeling. But
that's really good. And finally, what's next for you? What are you working on next? You said you have a book upcoming.
Yes. So coming up is Love Gaia, The Diary Directive. And it's about to launch soon. I haven't quite finalised a date just yet, but it's looking like early June. Watch your space.
Exciting stuff.
It is. No, honestly, I'm so excited about this one. But, okay, long breath. It is a post-nuclear war dystopian versus utopian environmental romance. Yes, all of those things.
Do you know, I am a lover of ridiculously long genre titles like that. That's what I write, things like that.
Yeah. It's not just one, it's just because it's got a dual perspective. So you've got this whole set of villagers set in the distant future, and they're kind of more the utopian lot. And they're going to these specialist study courses to study the diary of the lady who was one of the founders of their village, which has its own logo, which is going to be on the cover.
Ooh.
And it's even got special Maori symbols actually within that logo as well. But yeah, no, it's... Honestly, I'm so excited. It's, yeah, I can't really say much more than that. I don't think I don't want to give too much away.
And where can people find you and your books online?
Most of my books are available wide. So anywhere that you download ebooks, you can get my books. The only exception is Regency Love, because that's in Kindle Unlimited, so that's only on Amazon. But yeah, come find me anywhere online. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, BookBub, Goodreads, everywhere. If you look for Teal Clark Author, you'll probably find me, to be honest.
Yeah. Now we have to move on to the meme bit, because in every week on the podcast, I ask Holly a would you rather question, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. So okay. I have composed a special would you rather question specially for you. Okay. Uh-oh. So would you rather give up coffee for 6 months, or lose 20 chapters from your current book? That is tough, isn't it? As a fellow coffee-guzzling author, I will tell you, it actually hurt deep inside to write that question.
Oh my God, that's evil.
It is.
I have actually lost chapters of books before, because I had autosave on, but it wasn't working. So that pain is real. Be honest, my current book, it's only got 16 chapters anyway, so
it would be the whole thing.
Be the whole book. This whole book, or 6 months of coffee. I think, as much as I love coffee, I'd have to give up the coffee.
I think that's fair enough.
You still have tea, right?
yeah you can still have tea.
That's fine.
Do you know, honestly, I think I might actually have to go the other way and lose the 20 chapters, because I, with the help of coffee, I could rewrite them.
Yeah. No, I don't want to repeat the last sort of 9 months, to be honest.
Yeah, but seriously, 6 months without coffee. Oh, I'm actually crying a little bit at the thought of it.
Yeah, no, honestly, my heart's constricting. It's like, oh, I'm breaking out with a sweat. What did I just say? I'd give up coffee ever.
Yes. Well, it had to be a difficult one, and that was specially written just for you, because I'm so kind.
Yeah, really.
Thank you. On that note, you can go and have nightmares now, but thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem, anytime. All right.
Bye.
Yes, that really was a particularly mean would you rather question for poor TL Clark. And don't forget our question of the week for you. Do you have a dedicated writing space? Search for Unstoppable Authors on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and share a photo of where you write. And if you want exclusive access behind the scenes of the podcast to hear all of the outtakes and the things we'd never dare to say on air, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. So thank you for listening, and don't forget to share the podcast on social media and drop us a tag. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing and publishing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and the show notes are at unstoppableauthors.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors so you never miss an episode, and we will have more goodies for you soon.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review.